last song will wear you out. I strained 3 years on that one, but that's all right. 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians. Good crowd tonight. It's good to see each of you. I don't know how good you are, but good number. How about that? All right. Told you that joke, didn't I, about the preacher who got up and said, we got a big crowd tonight. And he said, there's a lot of us, too. But anyways, some of you will catch that later this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house tonight. It is good to be in your house. It's good to sing the songs. And Lord, we're so thankful for the promises. God, it seems like I'm reminded more and more just how wonderful these songs are and how much they can minister to us if we allow them to. So thank you for those. God, I pray that you'd bless now this effort to preach your word. I pray that you'd use it to speak to our hearts tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Still breathing heavy from that one. Last week, we finished up chapter 6, and in doing so, we watched as the Apostle Paul made this point clear to the believers there in Corinth that our bodies do not belong to us. He was very clear that our bodies as well as our spirit belong to the Lord as a result of our salvation. And in the context of things, what he was trying to teach the believers in Corinth was this, is that they are to abstain from fornication, that being a sexual sin, because he said not only is that a sin against your flesh, but it also defiles our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul was very clear that a Christian has no business engaging in activity outside the parameters of marriage. And as we looked at that last week, I said it's pretty obvious and it's pretty clear for us to see someone who is engaging in that lifestyle, and it's easy for us to be critical of them. We can say you're destroying your body, you're not taking care of the body that God has given you. And yet so many times, in a broader sense, we abuse the bodies that God has given us in other ways, and yet we justify that sinful activity. And so I said last week, many times we defile and we hurt our bodies with our eating habits and with our lifestyle, with some of the addictions people struggle with. It could be a lack of exercise, a lack of movement and just doing things. And so we really do need to give attention to this body that we've been loaned and how we treat it. I don't know if that stuck with you at all this week. I know it stuck with me, and I hope that it sticks with us because we need the reminder. We truly do need the reminder. Now, tonight I want to begin by asking a question, all right? Very, very simple question. You answer this in your mind however you see fit. How many of us have ever begun a project and it turned out more complicated and more messy than we thought it was going to be? You ever found yourself in a position like that? You start a project, you maybe think you have an idea as to what you're about to get into. Maybe you would admit right up front, I have no idea what I'm getting into. But you are now engaged in this project, and it is far more complicated than you thought it would be. It is far more of a mess than you thought it would be. And now at this point, here is what you must do. You must decide, what do I do now? Right? I mean, you got to make a decision. You can't just leave it like that, though that is kind of a decision. But you've got to decide, okay, I'm in the middle of this up to my knees. I've got to decide now, what am I going to do? Will I do this? Will I do this? Or will I do this? Or whatever the other options may be. Now, tonight I ask you that question because I want to ask you this question. How many of us, if we were honest, please do not answer this out loud, but how many of us tonight, if we were honest, we would say something like this, that as we entered into marriage, we did not know how complicated it could be. Some of you are smiling, so I think that rings a bell with some of us. And how many of us did not know how messy it could be at times. Because it is safe to say, is it not, that as much as we thought we were prepared for marriage, it is more complicated than what we were ready for. And it is far messier at times than what we were expecting. And now, in a sense, we are up to our knees, or maybe up to our elbows, in this thing called marriage. And we don't quite know what to do, but the reality is this: we have to do something. We have to do something. What are our options? Now, you may sit here and just, let me throw this in real quick. You may sit here and say, well, I'm not married, I'm just going to zone out on this sermon. No, no, no. You do not want to zone out, okay? I promise you, you do not want to zone out. But if you are married and you would say, well, this is complicated, or this is messy, or this is still confusing even after all these years, then what do you do? What are some of the options available to us? Well, here is one option available to a couple. They can determine that by the grace of God, they will do what the Word of God says, and they will have a marriage that brings glory and honor to God. That is an option that is available. Now, let me just throw this in real quick and tell you, that is not an option that most people go for. Most people do not select that as their primary option, to do whatever the Bible says, regardless of how difficult it may be at times. They don't decide to do that so that they could have a marriage that brings glory and honor to the Lord. Here is what many people do. They decide to just walk away from the marriage. Because here's what they assume, and here's what they've told themselves: that the next time it won't be as complicated, and the next time it won't be as messy. And you know what? That's foolish thinking. The next relationship will be as complicated as the last one. In fact, it could be more complicated because of the previous relationship. And it will not be any less messy. In fact, it could be more messy because of previous relationships. And yet so many people, even those sitting in churches, when the marriage gets complicated and the marriage gets messy, they opt to just walk away from it. But here's another option that many people choose to exercise in their life. For reasons maybe I don't fully understand tonight, but the reason would be this, and the option they exercise is this: they stay married, but it's just more of a partnership than it is a marriage. I've mentioned this many times before, but you know this to be true. It's more of just two people living in the same house, but it's not the marriage that it's supposed to be and that was designed in Scripture. So you understand, marriage gets complicated. You know this, marriage gets messy. Marriage can be hard. Marriage can be frustrating. Marriage can be so many things sometimes, and it's not everything that we thought it was going to be. So we have to decide, what are we going to do with this marriage we're in? Will I choose to obey God's word and make it work and have a marriage that honors Him? Are we just going to walk away and go our different directions, or are we just going to stay in it and just wait this thing out and hope they go before we go? Now, as you consider that, I want us to consider this. Marriage problems manifest themselves in many different ways. Surely, I don't have to be the one to tell you that. Susie and I do not just have one line of issues we have to deal with. We're like a complicated root system. we can deal with this problem for a while, only to realize, hey, we've still got some problems over here, and hey, we still got some things to work on over here. It seems like there are many different things that can pop itself up in the marriage by way of issues. And the thing of it is this, is we don't mind addressing most issues. But there are certain issues that people don't like to talk about, and issues that people don't like to address. And guess what? The preacher doesn't like to address it. But when you come to the Scripture, you have to deal with the Scripture. And so as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tonight, I want us to consider a couple of thoughts. And we'll get to the text in just a moment. But I want to begin by saying this, that whenever Paul wrote this letter, he did not say, now this is only applicable to this certain age group. He did not say, do not read this in mixed company, and don't read this around children, and don't discuss this in front of teens or adolescents or anything of that nature. As we'll see in just a moment, Paul is responding to some questions that the believers asked. And guess what? It needed to be addressed. And I'm of the mindset that if God didn't think we didn't need it today, God would not have put forth the effort to preserve it for us tonight. So look in verse number 1. He said this, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. Concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. This is very important that we see this. Paul is basically saying, based on what you wrote, based on what you've said, based on what you've asked, here are some of the answers to the questions you've given. Now look in verse number 6 tonight. Skip down to verse number 6. He said, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after this. Now in verse number 7, here is what Paul makes clear, and you can understand this by way of the context in the next couple of moments. But the Apostle Paul was a single man. The Apostle Paul was not a man who was engaged in a marriage relationship. And so he understood by way of some wisdom and some discernment and some understanding, he understood that his life had been spared a measure of complication and messiness by being single. He could look at his ministry, he could look at his approach to life, he could look at the direction that his life was taking and what God had called him to. And so he said in verse number 7, I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after this. And so what he is saying is this, I would that all men were like me, but here's what I know, not all men are called to the same future as myself. Some have a gift for this and some have a gift for something else. But in verse number 6, this is so important. Notice he said, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Well, what does that mean? It means this. It means I have the liberty to tell you this, that this is my personal opinion. But this is not brought to you on the authority of God. Does that make sense? This is not a commandment of God, but this is something that I have permission to at least challenge you in this regard. See, here's what Paul knew. Paul understood that with marriage there were complications and there were messes and there were challenges and all these other things. And he knew that there were benefits to not being married, but it was pretty evident that he could not make a biblical case against marriage. Seeing how God is the one who created man and woman. Seeing how it was Jesus Christ who we have his first recorded miracle at a wedding. And it was Jesus Christ who called disciples to serve beside him who were married. And so Paul understood, I cannot make a biblical case for this. So get this, please. Paul was honest that as it related to their marital status, He could not give a biblical argument. He could simply challenge them to consider this as an option. Now, why is that so important? It's important for this reason. That if Paul does not give the disclaimer that this is just my opinion, then do you realize who he's speaking on behalf of? He is speaking on behalf of God as a mouthpiece for God. You following this? When Paul says, listen, this is not commandment, I speak this though by permission or by liberty, if that disclaimer is not given, then what he is doing is he is speaking on the authority of God. And I want us to understand that, because now I want us to go back to verse number 1. He says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. As we consider the context of this, here is what the Apostle Paul is writing about. He is writing about individuals who are not married, and he said, it is not good for a man to touch a woman outside of marriage. Now, when Paul writes this, understand, he was not saying, if you touch a woman, you are doing something wrong and you are doing something offensive to God, in the form of, say something like this, greeting one with a holy kiss. Maybe what we might say, shaking a woman's hand. Or maybe even under certain circumstances, patting a lady on the back and just letting them know, hey, I appreciate you, or hey, I'm praying for you, I love you, whatever it may be. Paul was not saying, if you touch a woman, you have done something that is wrong and offensive to Almighty God. You understand this? When ladies walk through the door of the church, I shake their hands. It's just the friendly, socially acceptable, cultural thing that we do. I shake hands with people, and I'm not violating the truth of God's Word. There have been times that a woman has been filled with grief. There have been times that a lady is going through something difficult, and in just an effort to express some sympathy or some kind of grief with them, I have put my arm around them and I've patted them on the back. Understand, that is not me ignoring the Word of God and doing something inappropriate with a woman. If we want to over-sexualize things, then we can make anything inappropriate. But to just have honest, sincere, innocent contact is not wrong. Somebody says, I got it. Okay, so then what does it mean? It means what most of us would think it means. It means a physical, intimate relationship outside of a relationship or outside of the boundaries of marriage that is not good, and that is not just Paul's opinion, that is God's opinion. So any kind of a physical, intimate relationship that is not under the umbrella of marriage, then that is a relationship that is not good, that is not right, which means it is bad, which means it is wrong in the sight of God. Now here's what is interesting. That word touch does not just mean to have the physical relationship, but it also carries with the idea of simple cohabitation with someone of the opposite sex. See, that kind of flies in the face of culture today, right? Oh, listen, we're not doing anything. We're just, you know, we just are sharing the house. You know, we're not doing anything. We're just doing this to split the rent or whatever. See, the problem with that is the whole appearance of the relationship. And so because of the appearance alone, you wouldn't want to engage in that. Paul said in Thessalonians, he said, abstain from all or any appearance of evil. And so he says to those who are unmarried, he said, you need to understand something. It is good for a man not to touch a woman, and you wouldn't even want to give off the appearance of having a wrong relationship with her. And so it would be bad if you were engaged in a physical relationship with a woman outside of your marriage. Now, any Bible believer will not fuss at that. But when someone wants to live according to culture standards or live according to the rules of society, they'll look at that and say, well, I just don't agree. That's fine, but your issue now is with God and not with man's opinion. All right. So Paul is talking to single people based upon a question that's been asked, and he said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But notice what he says in verse number 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Ruh-roh. Here's where Paul begins talking about things that people are like, ooh, let's not talk about that. Because you know what Paul has just admitted and what Paul has just spelled out for everyone to just confront head on? Hey, guess what? We've all got desires. You're single, and they're single. You're a man, and you're a woman, and there are sparks. And there is romance, and there is love. It's good for you not to touch her outside of marriage. So in order to avoid any kind of sexual sin, here's what is good, and here is what is right. Men have a wife, and ladies have a husband. None of us argue with that, right? So now notice in verse number 3, based upon questions they obviously had written to Paul, he now says this, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. What does that mean? Well, based on the fact that he has desires and she has desires, here is what is supposed to happen in the relationship. The husband is supposed to do his part to meet her physical needs, and the wife is supposed to do her part to meet his physical needs and desires. You understand this? It is a personal responsibility of the husband to meet the wife's physical needs, and it is the responsibility of the wife to meet the physical needs of her husband. That is normal, and that is natural, and that is appropriate. Now, here is where problems begin to exist in marriages and where things get complicated and messy sometimes. Husbands and wives are ignorant of the physical needs that their spouse has. Because we naturally assume, how could I not be meeting your needs? You understand this? Susie and I know that I want to be very careful in how I present this, but Susie and I were talking several weeks ago. We had been married probably 15 years before I began to realize her needs and desires are different than my needs and desires. What a man desires and what a lady desires from the physical aspect of things can be two totally different things. Yet if a man and a woman who is husband and wife are not careful, they will just naturally assume that they are meeting the need of their spouse, and they may never consider that their spouse is very frustrated in the relationship because they are not having their physical desires met by the partner that God gave them to meet those needs and desires. Somebody says, well, how in the world would you know what their needs are? It's kind of weird. But you talk about it. You talk about that with your wife? Yes. You actually bring that up to your husband? Yes. And you say something like this, honey, just so that you understand, I need this from you. I had no idea. Yeah, I know, we've never talked about it. We've been married 20 years. Well then, honey, I would like this from you. Really? Yes. And see, here's what a marriage is supposed to look like, and here is what the relationship is supposed to look like, that the husband gives to the wife what she is due, and the husband gives, or the husband to the wife, and the wife to the husband what he is due. It's that simple. Now, I want to again be careful in how I say this. But it seems to be that in so many relationships, things grow cold in the relationship long before they have to. You understand what I'm saying? I think I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again tonight, that at age 42, I am not the same as when I was 22. But I do not have to have a cold relationship with Susie just because I am older now and the body has changed some. And there are so many husbands and wives who have a very cold, if not frozen, physical relationship because they never considered the physical needs of their spouse. And as they grew and as they aged and as they matured with one another, they never had the conversation. They never had the topics of conversation. They never talked about that because, well, I don't want to approach it or something of that nature. And I'm telling you, whether we realize it or not, it leads to issues in a marriage that do not have to be there. Now, there are some who might say things like this. Well, Brother Kyle, you don't understand my situation. You just don't understand. Well, notice in verse number 4 what Paul said. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. You know what Paul is telling them? He's telling them, when it comes to your physical relationship with your spouse, you don't call the shots. Your spouse calls the shots. Because your body is not your own as a result of your marriage. Your body now belongs to the other person. Or Brother Kyle, you know, I'm not attracted anymore. Brother Kyle, you know, I'm not drawn to her like I once was. Brother Kyle, you know, I don't like to do the things that she does. Guess what? Nobody cares. Your body is not yours, sir. Your body is hers. The wife says, well, Brother Kyle, you don't understand. Trust me. You don't understand, Brother Kyle. You're right. I don't understand what it's like to be a lady. Thankfully, I will never understand what it's like to be a lady. But your body belongs to Him. And you don't have the right, we don't have the right to tell each other, I will not meet your physical needs because that's not my physical need. Listen, we don't have that right and we don't have the authority to say such a thing to our spouse. If they say this is what I need and this is what I really need from you right now, then listen, that is when we have to recognize that if we don't want to frustrate the marriage, we need to consent and give in to the needs of our spouse. Somebody may sit here and say, Brother Kyle, listen. I hear what you're saying. That would have been great 30 years ago if you'd preached this to us. However, well, notice what it says in verse number 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. What does it mean to defraud? It means this, to keep back. You do not keep back what they need. You understand this? If they need it, do not keep it from them. Men and women are completely different, right? Honey, I need you. Okay? Honey, I need you. Those are two totally different things in the mind of a woman and the mind of a man so many times. But if that's what they need, we give it to them. You want to be held? Okay, I'll come here, I'll hold you. That's not the right attitude. You know what I mean? Okay, the game's on, don't talk, but I'll put my arm around you. That's not what she's talking about. The needs are different, and men, so many times, we are mindless when it comes to our needs. But it is our responsibility to meet each other's needs. He said, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent. The only time that you don't fulfill each other's physical needs is if you have agreed to it prior. And notice what he said, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Well, if I have to fast and pray to keep from meeting your needs, I'll just go ahead and meet your needs. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't want to fast and pray. I don't mind praying, I just don't want to fast, so okay, I'll meet your need. That's the only reason that you would not give to your spouse what your spouse needs, because you have agreed that for whatever issue in life it may be, hey, we need to spend some time in prayer about this, and we need to fast about this, and there are examples in the Scripture where the children of God were told to abstain from activity for a certain amount of time while God did certain things amongst the people. And so there would only be rare occasions where we would not have the obligation to meet one another's needs, but it would be consensual and it would be for a short time, because he said, you need to come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your lack of coming together and meeting one another's needs. Do you realize what Paul said? Paul said this: if you don't meet each other's needs, Satan will tempt you to have your needs met someplace else. And that is 100% true. It is 100% accurate. Why do men have affairs on their wives so many times? I'm not saying every time, so don't take this wrong. I'm not saying every time, but so many times they are doing that because they are getting some need met outside of the marriage that they're not having within the marriage. Why do so many ladies cheat? It's not because they can't get certain things at the house, but they're not getting what they need at the house. Satan tempts men and women when the physical relationship is not what it's supposed to be. Now this evening, if you think you feel uncomfortable with any of this, imagine what I feel. I have no sympathy for you. But here's what I would like to challenge every one of us to do. I don't care if you're new in this messy, complicated journey or if you are a longtime veteran in this complicated, messy journey. I challenge you to sit down and have an honest conversation with your spouse and ask them, am I meeting your needs? Because no matter who we are, we can still have an affectionate relationship with our spouse. Am I meeting your needs? So, Brother Kyle, that's kind of awkward. It's your spouse, for crying out loud. And if you have the conversation and you find out you're not meeting the needs, just understand this. You are wrong. Not because it's my opinion or Paul's opinion, but Paul spoke on the authority of God on the matter. He has needs, she has needs. God brought you together in part to meet those needs. And if you're not doing it, you're not giving to them what only you should be able to give them. And if you're not married tonight, remember this. It is always, always wrong to be single, living like a married person. You understand? It is always wrong to be single, living like a married person. And we better not sit here and say amen and then not be willing to follow through with this. Will we at least have the conversation? Just want to make this clear and maybe end somewhat on a light note. I don't expect any Isaacs or Josephs to be running around in 10 months. Because there'd be a bunch of alarmed men and women. Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, you know, in their old age. We don't need that, okay? Some of you are like, yeah, Isaac and Joseph. I've got to help you all with everything, don't I? Listen to me. Listen. We ought to have good physical relationships with our spouse, whatever that looks like, so long as it is meeting the needs of our spouse. Amen? All right. We're not going to have an invitation tonight. And there's no reason for that other than time. So we're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. Let me just share a couple of things with you. Be in prayer for Miss Addie, for those of you who don't know. She had a wreck last week, and she got banged up pretty good. And she is sore, she is hurting, she's been to the emergency room a couple of times. So be in prayer for Miss Addie. I called her and talked to her yesterday. She cried while she was on the phone because she's hurting. And do not go by there, okay? That's far too much effort for her. But if you want to call, that's fine. But just don't go by there right now because it would take her a long time to get to the door, according to what she said. So anyways, just be in prayer for Miss Addie. And then, ladies, don't forget you have a fellowship Tuesday night at 6:45 at the Ashfords. All ladies are invited and encouraged to attend, okay? Anything else real quick before we're dismissed?